Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
He covers the Chiefs.
With that, time's yours.
And you're in that place where you're in the playoffs.
He covers the Royals.
Flair, over there in the middle, on the left.
Salvador, just take us through your emotions.
He covers college sports.
But one great thing about the conference tournament, where I think it gives teams hope.
And every now and then, he likes a good laugh.
Make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh?
He's Blair Kirchhoff of the Kansas City Star on the program.
Yes, indeed. We go from one of our favorite hours of the week to one of our favorite hours of the week. Peter Yates Enoch in, or excuse me, out. Blair Kirchhoff in. Mr. Kirchhoff, sir, how are you?
I'm well, and it's always great to pass Pete in the hall just to catch up. Yep. It's funny. We hadn't seen each other for decades, and now I see him every week.
All right, a couple of things here that we already have to clean up from last hour. I'll clean up that spill.
That's right. Many
speaking
things
of cleaning up. Speaking of cleaning so up. So many of your own rules have been violated.
right there
in front of me.
No drinks without lids.
Yes.
Hey, here I go.
Don't actually, spill. Actually, one.
Here I go.
Because the spill part didn't happen if you.
Well, never mind. Let's not talk about what it is. Let's just
it happens.
Move on. It happens, right?
It happens.
We're in a forgiving mood here.
Yep.
Intern actually just completely dropped the ball on not remembering Eric Hosmer being from Florida, but he reminded me it's not Miami that Christian Colon went to. It's Cal State Fullerton, and he's from Puerto Rico. So somebody got Jazz. For free. Congratulations. Yeah, there you go.
Every once in a while, one slips through the cracks.
And then Pete ain't giving it up that La Tech wasn't one to play. What we found was...
I've checked about five different things, and I still can't determine whether or not they actually were in 1969.
It appears, though, what we saw on Wikipedia was that they were Division II.
Yeah.
But they have been 1AA since Brad. So when Bradshaw played there, they were D2. According to Wikipedia.
At least part of his career, I think.
They were D2. But they don't have him even to 1AA till like 84, 85.
Well, that list is just conference championships. I was like, why is there a gap of so many years? They won conference titles in 82, 84.
So at some point.
But I cannot figure out.
But if
they were in the Gulf States Conference, but I don't know what the Gulf States Conference is.
No,
this
wasn't
is intercollegiate
D1.
Athletic football.
It wasn't D1.
Right.
It makes me think that, you know, they might have been 1AA.
Yeah, at that time, it was like McNeese State, Nichols State, North.
But it does
Louisiana.
Look like when he would have been there, it would have been D2.
Probably.
But there wasn't a 1A and 1AA designation until 1979 or 80.
Right.
That happened like in – so, it was when
so it
I was
have been.
It was
so the question needed to be non-D1, and therefore Bradshaw would have been correct.
Yeah. I tell you what, I would look up the baseball reference. Mm-hmm. There's a collegefootballreference.com, and I'd call up La Tech and –
call.
See there, but that's
I do something.
How was that?
I think
not
what Blair is saying, Curtis, is one time, one day in this program, do something.
I don't think that's what he was saying.
you know, I'm not saying that.
But
what?
Blair goes, that wasn't what I was saying, and he looked at you and went, it was what I was saying.
That's what I was getting at.
Wink, like, wink.
Open his eyes.
Wink, 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 wink.
I'd kill for just him moving so I could get in the studio. How are you, Blair?
Doing well. Doing well.
I'm just curious because we talked about it earlier. Do you have a side on whether the Chiefs should or should not lavish Chris Jones with a contract? Since you're out there all
season.
Yeah.
I listened to you and Corey. I thought that was a great segment.
Right. It's three days where we have played the role of Brett Veach's lieutenants.
Yeah. To me, if they're going to keep Chris Jones, they're going to give up a lot of other things.
Right.
And they're not going to get the compensation for all the other things that they will get for Chris Jones. But what I've noticed too, it, maybe you've seen this in the national, the reporters that are covering the combine nationally, they're all under the assumption that the Chiefs are going to find a way to sign Chris Jones. I haven't seen a good argument by a national, you know, some of the national guys that I read that suggest that they're going to, you know, they'll tag and trade or whatever. I don't understand not even entertaining that possibility in the national conversation.
The national conversation thinks they'll keep him, right?
Yes, thinks
right.
So. And I
think it's a 30,000-foot view.
It must be. It must just be. It's obviously people who are covering 32 teams and not one team.
And they don't grind down to the actual cap problems right. of any one team. It's just like, you know, it's like when people say, well, they'll find a way. There's always a way. The cap's bogus. You can always find a way. Well, I mean, you can most times. You can't always, all right? That's a misnomer. But, yes, you could renegotiate a lot of different contracts. But that creates its own problem. Asking Travis Kelce to take less money and asking, you know, Mitchell Schwartz after you just gave him a year onto a deal that he's grossly, maybe more than anybody, he's grossly exceeded his contract. And then asking him to renegotiate it and backload it. Now, if you want to go extend Morse and give him a big fat signing bonus and you want to tack a couple more years onto Travis Kelce's deal, okay, but you're not going to get there without cutting Sammy Watkins. I mean, listen, everyone's ready to cut Cam Irving, right?
Sure.
LDT, unfortunately, most people are ready to cut him.
Ready to go.
The part that I remind
Fuller.
People is, rule of thumb, basically put $1 million per cut back onto the cap. Because somebody's got to have that spot on the roster. You're not going to just be like, no, we're going with 36.
That's right.
We're not re-signing Fuller or Breland or, you know, Damian Wilson. And we're cutting, I think they've got like 18 guys that are free agents off what was their 53 at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they're ready to cut Watkins, cut Irving, cut LDT. Okay, now you're down to like 33 players. You got to fill those spots.
Yeah, they're not going to draft 15 guys. They're not going to have 15 rookie contracts.
And even those guys have to be paid.
That's right. They're getting something.
And college free agents, first year next year, what did we say, Curtis? 585? Is that what we looked up?
Yes.
Is that what it is, 585?
585. So even if you just went with all college free agents for every other spot, you know, call it $600K a guy times 16.
You know, with tax, you know, of course.
You're up over close to 10 million. $10 million.
So the cutting, you know, listen, I think you made your decision last year when you went and got Matthew and Clark, you made your decision, what I don't like is if fans are going to come away venomous towards an organization that just won a Super Bowl. They did what it took. They I think went all in on this year and they cashed. All right, guess what? You got to build up your reserves now. Right,
And it's not like even without Chris Jones, it's not like
they're
can't
out.
Be,
right?
Yeah, I mean they're it's a playoff team without Chris Jones next year. It might be a given what else we know of the AFC. It might be an AFC favorite next year without Chris Jones.
They're the betting favorite right now, and trust me, Vegas. While the national information guys may not be wired in on, Vegas has broken down the rosters. Now they also know that people are just going to bet Patrick Mahomes. As much as they're betting the Chiefs, they're really just betting Patrick Mahomes. But they would back off the number. It'd be more than 6-1 right now. And I think, by the way, that number will be even lower. I think you'll be looking at 3 or 4-1. If they maneuver well and draft well, you'll be looking at 3 or 4-1. So if you want to bet the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl and you can still get 6-1, I got 6-1 before the season started last year. That's all I could get last year. And they were the number 2 team in the AFC. So as long as they're going to remain the top dog, that number is not going to get, 8-1, 10-1. You're not going to get better change on that. You better go put the bet down now.
Yes. I'm trying to think of what I saw right at the, when we saw the odds posted right at the, after the Super
six,
Bowl.
6-1 and 7-1, depending upon, that's where I was seeing everywhere.
And the favorite.
Yeah, and the favorite.
Yeah.
But they're leaving that.
Over the Ravens, interesting.
It's pretty wide open. And then nobody's a super long shot. Because they don't know what the offseason's going to be. So it's all, you don't have the shortest odds and you don't have the super long odds. It's kind of condensed towards the middle. And it'll spread out after we see the moves and everything that they make.
One thing that's true for me is I trust whatever happens. I do trust Brett Veach and his decision-making skills.
What a 6 months, 7 months that guy's had, right?
What didn't work?
You know? At 6-4, yeah. He was a boob. People were calling for his job when they called the show.
It was next, right? And
for someone who made that many moves, and I can't think of one of them that
blew
wasn't,
up.
Wasn't at least decent. Oh, wasn't one that was
just
bad.
Mike Pennell.
LeSean McCoy.
How about
he didn't add much, but
LeSean McCoy and Morris Claiborne didn't. But they were depth there, and if you had to go to them, they were probably better than whatever else was out there.
Wisniewski. You know? I mean,
Wisniewski and Pennell were tremendous.
Good
God. Breland was a good sign.
Yes.
You know, I mean, he ended up getting a lot. Obviously, they had a number in mind for him last year. He didn't like it. His foot wasn't ready to go either. Then he ends up signing with the Packers, and they get him 1 year, $2 million. And he played top shelf. I don't believe in luck, but every Super Bowl team has some things where it's like, wow, that was great return.
When you, in retrospect, you look back and say, yes, what a terrific move that was.
But I'd rather give him credit for it, because if he signs a crappy contract to Chris Jones and it weighs his team down, I'm going to hound him for it.
And he'll deserve it. He'll absolutely deserve it.
So I give him nothing but credit here. I don't believe in luck. You wear your successes and you wear your failures.
It's fascinating to me that when we talk about the NFL, this has to be, not only has to be, it's essential that it's part of the conversation. That's not true in baseball, right? If in baseball, if there was the baseball equivalent of Chris Jones, if you had the money, you'd sign him. I mean, there is no salary cap in baseball. So the Yankees can spend.
Unless you're the Royals, and then you wave goodbye to Eric Hosmer and,
right,
you know.
Right.
And Lorenzo Cain. Okay. And
it's true. But they could have.
But again, still not the equivalent to Chris Jones. There was no discussion. We all knew they were leaving after 17, and nobody even debated it.
Right, right. It was like, we kept them too long. You know, they were here too long.
Yeah. Why didn't you blow it up after 15? You should have seen you couldn't win it in 16 and 17. Right. Damn it, Dayton Moore, how come you didn't get your crystal ball out? Why was it still in there in your bowling bag or wherever you keep it? You know.
But if we were like in New York or L.A. or Chicago, you can
sign him.
And it would, you know, you just go forward.
It's a different
and
world.
And the NBA seems to, even with its salary cap, seems to be able to figure it out, how to stock teams.
Draft was pretty good, too.
Yes.
Oh, he
Thornhill,
got something from everybody.
Hardman, Saunders, Thompson, Fenton.
Fantastic draft. Fantastic draft.
The one guy that didn't play was Allegretti, the seventh round pick.
Right. And
the top.
He's going to play next year.
The top five guys that played,
Fenton got better as the year. Their sixth round pick, right? He got better as the year went on. And
Saunders.
Saunders was he was an integral part of the depth as the year went on.
Thornhill's going to be an All Pro at some point.
Yes, and he was All Rookie on Pro Football Focus
Pro
or
Football
one of
Focus
them.
Had
and Hardman had the All Pro kick returner. So my gosh, I mean that's and even the previous year's draft. That Veach's first
wasn't as good.
Not as good. But there were some moments there.
I will tell you. 1 second. Oops, not depth chart. Damn it.
Speaks O'Daniel Nottie,
Derek Nottie. That's
Armani Watts, Khalil McKenzie.
Armani Watts stepped in and actually played late.
Watson and O'Daniel played a little later.
O'Daniel's their best special teams player.
Yeah.
But Nottie was a starter.
Yep.
Basically.
But Speaks was injured, so we don't know.
But Nottie was a huge piece of the puzzle for this team. And you're right, O'Daniel on special teams. I mean, I always kind of – I've said it a million times. Like, this first draft, don't expect much. Like, GMs – They're having to figure out who's going to be in the scout. And
who they're working
with. It's always the first draft in New England sucked, except for Tom Brady. In
except for the sixth round.
Literally
everyone else was terrible.
Adrian Clem and
Adrian Flem.
Yeah.
Did you mention Suggs in the veteran thing? This one.
Yeah, again, Suggs.
Just throwing
Terrell Suggs.
Terrell Suggs.
No big deal.
Perennial Pro.
Everyone thought that was a gamesmanship.
Right.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, just keeping him from the Ravens. Okay. Whatever, it worked. Scotty Hazleton is not going to be in Manhattan, Kansas anymore, Blair.
Not going to be there.
I said that one of three things. I said one of two, and I said, but it could be. So I guess it's really one of three. One, K-State's just not going to put that kind of money into football. $1 million, a little over $1 million for a DC. He was the highest paid assistant at $550,000. Chris Klieman, by the way, makes $3.3 million on his contract,
which
on average it was. I looked it up.
Which probably puts him in the right in the probably the middle.
6 years, 16.8. Oh no, that's not quite $3.3 million.
No, it's not $3.3 million.
No, no, I'm sorry. Two would be 12, 4.8, 2.8, 2.8, right? 16.8 divided by six, Curtis. Two would be 12, 4.8. Yeah, 2.8. Yep. 2.8 million per, and so
I would say that they'd put him in the bottom half, I suspect.
Oh, I'm sure of the Big 12 or D1.
Bottom half of the Big 12 because
they just gave a guy who was did nothing really of note at Colorado $5 million to coach Tucker, be the head coach of Michigan State.
Yeah.
And we mentioned the highest overall contract. It's about $2.3 million on average, but a 5-year deal. For Brett Venables at Clemson, and then there's I think it's 2 for $5 even for Kevin Steele as the DC at Auburn. Okay. That's what the top paid defensive coordinators are in college football, and they weren't willing to match a little over $1 million. Now, either one, it proves they won't pay that kind of money, or two, that he said, no, this Michigan State job's a better gig, I'm leaving. And it defines it, at least in his mind, as a better job. Or I think three could be a little bit of the other two, but also, hey, we got a young guy that we think is actually the juice. Or it's Chris Klieman's side of the ball, and he's the Bill Belichick of it. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do that because, you know, next year I might have to match my OC, and that's the guy I really got to keep.
Well, and I'm wondering, I don't know Hazleton's background. Where was he before?
Let's look.
Let me see.
I'll look it up.
That could... You know, that could play into it as well. I'm
ticked
off.
Wyoming D.C. linebackers coach 17 and 18.
Okay, so
where before that,
Craig
though?
Jackson, he was Jaguars assistant linebackers coach for 3 seasons. Nevada, D.C., USC linebackers, North Dakota State for
7 to 11. So that was back with the Wyoming coach, right?
Yeah. Craig Bull. Bull.
Uh-huh. Michigan Tech, Missouri Southern State, St. Olaf. In Minnesota,
Missouri Southern,
former Kansas City Star writer
Ivan Carter.
Ivan Carter went to St. Olaf, North Dakota State, 2000-2001, Fort Lewis. Before that, he played at Fort Lewis as a linebacker, 46 years old.
I don't know. You know, I mean, we talked about Tony Hull last week. Remember the Kansas assistant who was not kept by? Has he surfaced? KU running backs coach, who was the Louisiana.
Yeah, he's the co-offensive coordinator in Hawaii.
That's where he ended up.
Yeah. So isn't that what I saw?
February 13th, yes.
Because we had speculated the Michigan State.
Well, that's what we have. And Tony Hull completes Graham's football staff. Offensive assistant Tony Hull. This is from February 18th of 2020.
Yep.
University of Hawaii head coach Todd Graham completed his inaugural staff, hiring Tony Hull as an offensive assistant.
I had heard that, not that the pipeline hadn't dried up, but that he wasn't, with Les Miles on the staff, they thought they had.
And you heard, I heard that too, and I heard it from Kansas people, which is what I said about K-State. As soon as the guy leaves, you'll quickly hear, well, the guy who was really the guy is still here. So screw that guy. And I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not saying Tony Hull.
And
I'm not saying anyone who says that about Scott Hazleton is wrong, because they might both be 100% right. But no one's ever left a college that I didn't have the college tell me, well, he really wasn't that good anyway. Do you agree?
Right, right. No, I think that's absolutely right. So there might – but lacking –
sometimes
more,
it's true.
Yeah, and lacking more information on this, you know, and short of talking to the coach himself.
I think it's interesting that Hull is listed as an offensive assistant here. The people that were telling me about him are telling me he was OC. And at least what it says right here on the Hawaii official athletic website calls him an offensive assistant. Now, maybe Todd Graham's, I heard he was co-offensive coordinator. And this is the new thing.
Well, and maybe they
Belichick started it with, his, you know, when he lost Patricia, Yeah, Wetzel, who went down to the Dolphins, was never named defensive coordinator.
Never a coordinator, right.
But he was a defensive assistant. I don't know why we have to play these games.
Or maybe there wasn't a spot on the staff, and they had to create some sort of position that made the language work. I don't know. Maybe Hawaii, who knows? Maybe Hawaii already had a running back coach that they liked, and so whatever. But
I would buy that he's co-offensive coordinator or offensive coordinator. Mm. I'd also buy that KU was going to fire him, and he found a landing spot, and he is just going to be kind of a recruiting guy, and they'll figure out what he's going to coach when he gets there. I don't know what the truth is. I do know that Kansas people are very adamant that, listen, Les Miles was pulling the Louisiana kids. It wasn't Tony Hall.
Right.
And that's a very believable explanation.
Yeah, there's
and if it's somebody,
see, the man straight has line. A history there.
And if there's an assistant coach in football that a school is trying to figure out a way to part ways with, this is the time to do it. Assistant coaches typically are on year-to-year contracts that run through the fiscal year, like June 30th. You don't do it then. Right. You do it now, you give them a chance to find another job.
I think also it was pointed out to me that there are now just maybe one or two guys that predated Les Miles. You know, replacing a whole staff in an offseason is hard.
Yes.
You may want to do it, but you may not be able to do it. So I think it's believable that Tony Hall was like, all right, listen, let's not worry about him. These guys got to go, and we can make do with these couple of guys over here. Yeah. We'll get to them next year. Hazleton, you know, I think it's just he got an offer, and whether K-State was like, listen, Chris is the guy calling the D. They want to give you $1 million, great, but we're not. That's completely believable.
It is. No, that is. I can accept that, and maybe in an honest moment, you know.
I do wonder, though. I mean, I think the Big Ten, I've had a couple of people, and in fact, you were actually one of them. That was going to be great. I was going to quote you to you.
I'd have denied it.
It's like the comedian who said, you ever take somebody else's story and, like, tell it like it's your own because it's really good, and you're going along and you're telling it. You've told it to, like, half a dozen people, and they always laugh, and you love it, and so you're telling the story to somebody, and like, you know, halfway through you realize, oh, this is the guy who stole that story from. You know? Oh, crap. Yeah. This one's not going to work.
Better change the ending.
I turned left. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Totally different.
I turned right.
But you were one of them, and I've heard a couple other people say the Big Ten is just swimming in money.
It is. More, believe it or not, more so than the SEC.
And, you know, we talked about how, you know, Slive, one of the last things he did in the SEC was go send out an edict, we will get better in basketball. Like, we're not going to keep stinking it up in basketball. And they all went out and they committed money to basketball coaches.
Sure did.
It kind of feels like the Big Ten was told, listen, enough of just Ohio State carrying our banner and being the only one that ever knocks on the door of a football championship. Get better, people.
No, that's why Nebraska lost at home to Indiana this year. Programs are getting better in that not better on a national level. I mean, they're not competing for the national championships, but they're winning non-conference games. It gets them to bowl games. It improves the program. There's money at these schools. They can go out and hire guys. They can increase their recruiting budget. They can.
Well, I think it's of note that Penn State and Michigan are winning 10 games, and they're like, oh, I mean, when's Harbaugh and Franklin going to get it done?
And Franklin just signed a six-year extension yesterday.
Yeah, well, but around them, they're
right,
like,
right, right, that's right. Is that enough? Yeah, can we?
Yeah, and then Day, $6 million a year. He got a raise that's retroactive to February. Then he gets another raise in July. Right. It's like, what is this?
Well done, sir.
Oh, and by the way, if you're here in like an hour, we're putting $1 million into your retirement fund. Did you see that? I was like, what is this? Just write him a check. Right. What is this goofing around like?
We're going to give you a raise retroactive to when you're in junior high. What?
And if you're here next week, a clause kicks in. Yeah.
Could he win something with a guy he actually was standing watching the program recruiting first?
You would think that might be a requirement.
I mean, what you know, I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Well, that's there is money in those schools. There is. The Big Ten Network did. It was the original conference network, and it continues to make money. Jim Delaney has left the Big Ten in fantastic financial shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
fantastic. Yes. And look, so the SEC and the Big Ten are in a world of themselves when it comes to how much money conference generated revenue they pay each of their schools. The Big 12's third in that. Now, at some point, the Big 12 is going to get passed up by the ACC because the ACC network's going to be a monster. But, you know, I'm hearing that the Big 12, as much as I detest Big 12 Now, ESPN Plus, they're up to almost 10 million subscribers now. And
But that's not all funneling to the Big 12.
Well,
it's not ESPN plus Big 12.
No, it's not. It's not. Because
that's ESPN that's putting that money in their pocket.
It's all part of but it continues the relationship. It continues the strong relationship between the Big 12 and the ESPN. I don't know this. I've talked to Bob Bowlsby a couple times. I don't know if the Big 12 had to take this deal, but I got a feeling there was a wink and a nod that you kind of had to take this deal. You had to be part of this. We want to test the future of streaming sports, and you're going to be our first major conference partner doing this. So, as much as I don't like it,
you think it was the Big 12 saying it to ESPN?
No.
ESPN
to the Big 12.
Yeah, you're the short spoke.
Yep.
On our wheel here.
Absolutely.
So
right.
You're going to be the one that.
Right, which is why I go to the sports bar when I really need to see a KU or K-State or Big 12 game. I still will not buy it.
Well, with the news today, if you have YouTube TV, you're going there for Royals games.
I've heard
now.
That. And Sporting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sling never had it.
And
never had the regional networks. And YouTube did. It foils my plan of punting DirecTV and just having YouTube and Sling TV, which was having both of them was still going to be half of what I was paying to DirecTV.
Oh.
Even without the Sunday ticket cost.
Right.
And so now I got to reconfigure and figure out what the hell I'm going to do.
I did see
that. By the way, whatever I choose to do, I will still say you suck on the radio, whoever you might be if you suck.
You're not getting away from that.
Because DirecTV.
I've heard you talked about it. I've never had DirecTV. I'm still old school cable. And
since it used to be a good company, I've had it for like 20 years or something, 18 years, something like that. But, you know, then AT&T bought it and fell apart.
AT&T.
It's people buying things that they don't do.
Right.
And then thinking, oh, yeah, we'll just cut half the employees to cover it. Okay.
Right.
Well, we know how that works.
Oh, we can go down that road. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Well, we paid too much for this thing. We've got to fire a bunch of people. Let's give less of our product and charge more. We'll take a break. Blair Kirkhoff's with us. You're in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
We call it a water cooler show.
Because the next day in the offices, people gather around the water coolers to talk about it.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt into the hour answer. Who is the only player to catch two perfect games, born on this date, did it 10 years apart.
Ron Hassey.
Yeah, I knew that one for some reason.
Len Barker in 81.
That's all right. No, that's okay. But
he's used it 17 times.
Usually it's on February 27th.
Yeah.
When it's his birthday.
When I go, oh, Ron Hassey's born today.
Yeah.
Len Barker in 81.
Curtis taking
Dennis
the easy
Martinez.
Way out.
Yes.
You know? All we ask for, Blair, is 15 good questions a week, every week, forever. We're not asking for much. You know?
No, it's not much. I want to know.
And the rough part is, like, every time you're, whatever day it is, anyone who's important who's born that day had born on that same date a year prior to that. So you're like, I've done this before. It isn't their first birthday in 10 years. So they have one every year, so it's like, crap, how do I freshen up Tony
And we heard
Gonzalez.
Earlier Abe Lincoln had a birthday 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
Who knew?
I was like, wow. Now that's breaking news.
I'm saddened that you will not get to do the once every 4 years birthday trivia question.
Yeah, I know.
It's on Saturday.
That sucks.
Boo.
Turning 8 this week. Blair Kirkhoff is with us, brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. They are at I-35 and Santa Fe. New, used, yes, excellent selection right now. Go to robertbrogdon.com to see it for yourself. Even better yet, go see him in person. Going to be a beautiful weekend. It is a great time to get out on the lot. It's time for you to get a new car, truck, or SUV. The number one Buick dealer in the country, the number one volume GM dealer, is Robert Brogdon Buick GMC at I-35 in Santa Fe. See for yourself why they are number one and why I bought 6 vehicles and counting at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. Blair, college basketball. I thought I had something on football. Where did I had another. Oh, Alabama, I know what it was. Let's finish up football. Alabama lost its strength and conditioning coach to Georgia.
I didn't know that.
They did. Scott Cochran or something. Yeah, that's what it is. Scott Cochran.
He must have a friendship with Kirby Smart and, you know.
Son of Joe, as I understand it. And turns out that Kirby Smart's one of his friends. So he gets by the help of his friends, you know. There you go. How about that?
Not bad.
You got to be an old guy to laugh at that one, but it's funny stuff.
That was good.
Funny stuff. I know Scott Cochran, the strength and conditioning coach, and I heard it described. Everyone's like, this is a big loss. This is a big loss. And then you get that thing. There's only two guys that work with the whole team, the head coach and the strength and conditioning coach. I'm like, well, that's true, but I don't mean to minimize what the strength and conditioning coach does at all, because I do think that there are good ones and there are bad ones.
Right, right.
And I have no doubt that this guy's a good one.
And they do have a lot of – they have more contact with the players because they can contact with in the offseason.
Year-round. Yep. So I do agree. It's a very important piece. But I'm pretty sure that Alabama will pay whatever it takes to go get whoever the best guy is, not named Scott Cochran.
I think that's right.
Right? And there's probably a pool of 10 or 20 guys that are, you know, on that same tier. I don't know. Maybe he's one with a bullet, but – Alabama should be able to get another guy. But I do think it's two things. There's been a lot of attrition at Alabama, which speaks to the fact that Nick Saban's been so good, because he's been losing coaches a long time still winning.
Coordinators.
But, you know, it is now 2 years. I know this is going to sound funny as it comes out of my mouth. I know how funny it sounds. He hasn't won a championship now for 3 years.
What?
Yeah, it's true. And last year, for the first time, didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
So if he were to go 10-2 this year, alarms are going to go off. That'll be three straight years getting successively worse. They gave him the special teams coordinator job at Georgia because you couldn't hire him laterally.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they gave him the special teams coordinator job in Georgia, which I'm sure he's probably qualified to handle. But I think they got him. And apparently – one of the things, Cochran was the guy, the hype guy on game day.
Oh, yeah.
He's the guy on the video board getting everybody all fired up and getting the team all fired up, which a lot of strength coaches are, right? And so they're saying that that's a big deal. But could we be seeing, like, you don't know it till it's happened that you're on the way down.
Well, there's certainly some symbolism in Georgia taking Alabama, hiring him away. There's no doubt about that. That's the, you know... As this is happening at Alabama, I keep hearing that Georgia's next. They're the successor in the SEC, because Clemson's now, fully part of whatever hierarchy there is at the top of college football.
Right.
But in the SEC, I've kept hearing ever since Smart went to Georgia that Georgia's next. They're going to replace Alabama at the top. We'll see. But look,
I can't even say they've joined them there. Until they win one.
Yeah, they got to win one. And they got to the championship a couple years ago and didn't win it. But look, Alabama, as long as Nick Saban's at Alabama, I think they're a 10 to 11 victory minimum a year. And if you're in that.
Until he gets too old.
Well, that's right.
And we don't know when that'll be. I don't think it's at, 67 or something? I'll look it up.
Whatever he is, he looks younger. Because Belichick is
when you're
like,
rich, you get to look younger.
Belichick like 60, 65 or 66 or something? And he looks
it more.
He does.
He looks it more.
But those are the two coaches and those are the two programs.
68 for Saban. He turned 68 in October. Yeah,
that's a little older than I thought. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what. I think in my dealings, and I've had one personal dealing, just one-on-one with him, but –
Belichick's 67, and Saban looks younger.
And I just think Saban's a little more human. He'll talk about, his family, his life away from football.
To you, he'll let the people he doesn't know in more than Belichick is. People who are close to Belichick say there's a whole other side to him.
Oh, I've heard he's, hilarious.
He's funny, he's witty.
Funny, engaging, and loves history, not just football, but history and... So you're right, but because I've covered the colleges as long as I have, I've just been around Saban more than I have Belichick. But 68's getting up there. I mean, that's the time. You're starting to who coaches beyond 70 anymore in college or in the NFL? I don't know. That'd be an interesting list. Going from oldest to youngest in terms of head coaches. I can see Saban. Sort of the last year or two of his career at Alabama. That would be, I don't know what his contract is, but I don't think that matters. He's gonna leave when he wants to. But to get back to your point, is there a little slippage? You know, you could say that if Tua had stayed healthy, there wouldn't have been any slippage this year.
I agree.
For them, right?
But I can also tell you that Tua is the only time I think he had a first round. Yeah, I know he hadn't had a first round quarterback that. And I don't know why you necessarily think that he's going to have an after.
Five national championships without one.
But don't you think that the offensive game has continued to evolve and the officiating has continued to evolve? And he's going to have to get better quarterbacks than he had for those early
ones? Yeah, he is. But I think he's actually done a pretty good job of evolving in some ways. You know, the hurry-up offense and, you know, you remember he was the most outspoken critic of that. And he evolved. He sent his staff to Oklahoma back when Stoops was there to observe Oklahoma. So, look, you're right. It sounds silly on the surface to say without a national championship since, 2016? Is that when he won it? I think it was 16 or 16.
Or 17, I think.
Was it 17? Okay, well, yeah, it was 17.
18 Clemson, and 19, yeah.
Yeah, Clemson and 18 LSU this year. I think LSU falls back for sure.
Absolutely. They have
year.
Massive losses.
Yeah, so there's one team that Alabama, I think, is going to scale this season. They're going to be favored in the West. I got to think Alabama will be.
I think so, and I think they might win the West, but I don't know that it'll be good enough to win.
I don't know either. I don't know. But if it is, if we are looking at the end of the dynasty of Alabama, it's the greatest in my lifetime because it's the longest. The other ones, you know, Miami, Nebraska, Southern Cal, Texas had a little mini one. Nothing has lasted as long as this one.
If Texas had a mini one, it was not Mack Brown.
Yeah, it was.
They were really good, but he won one title.
Yeah. I shouldn't include Texas. They won one. They won the Rose Bowl, and then they won the title in the Rose Bowl, and that was kind of it for 2004-2005. But no, Nebraska in the 90s when they won the three in the 4 years. Southern Cal with
winning two and a half and
with
4 years
with Pete Carroll and then Alabama since really 2009 when they won the first one under Saban to go a decade six and was it
Urban
six
Meyer won two at Florida. I don't know if you
two at Florida with two different quarterbacks, which I always look at that. You know, do you win with different personnel? I say it's greater than Miami. Miami went, you know, the entire 80s pretty much, just like Saban did this year previous decade. So I mean, you can if you want to write that story, that would be a story to write. You know, are we looking at the end of the Alabama dynasty?
Yeah, I think it's a real question. All right, we'll take a break. We'll talk about KU, number one in the country in college basketball. That's next here on the program.
The Program with Soren Petro.
Good guy to hang out with. He's a good guy to work with. He's got the characteristics of what you would hope that your best friend or a brother would have.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Good tune. Love the Black Crowes.
You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Curtis enjoying the tunes. Blair Kirchhoff and I solving the world's problems. Blair from the Kansas City Star.
Sounds like
brought
I win
you by
that one.
Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. I-35 and Santa Fe. That is where you can find Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. Blair, the Jayhawks, are they the best team in college basketball?
Yes, I think they are. I think it's a team that Bill Self, if you gave him a kind of a list of ingredients that he wants in a team, this would be the type of team he'd build. You know, big guy in the middle that's not necessarily, you know, that doesn't play outside, best defensive team maybe he's ever had, with long arm guards, not necessarily a great shooting team, but improved shooting team, and they get better shot selection now that Azubuike now is adept at passing out of the double and triple teams. So I think it's kind of everything Bill Self wants in a team.
Yeah, they're shooting better.
They are. They're getting better shots.
They're now reaching what looks like, you know, 2012 Kentucky and Roy's last championship team as far as their ability to shoot the three. It's not going to be their main thing.
Not going to be like their 18 team, like with
right.
Devontae Graham.
But they are now shooting at what seems like a championship level.
Yes.
Connecticut won shooting terribly. I mean, they're just an anomaly.
We could talk about
talk about throwing out the high and the low. They're the low that gets thrown out on everything.
Right. But had good big men usually.
But did they when their last championship team was what, Shabazz Napier?
That was the 2011 team.
Was that the 11?
They wanted it again in 14.
Oh, 14. That's right.
Yeah,
they beat, 14,
that
beat Kentucky
in the which
final.
One was Napier and which one was
Napier was 11, and then, I think, and 14 was.
I thought that was Kemba. Wasn't Kemba the 11?
Oh, you're right.
Walker was 11.
Napier
was 14.
Yeah.
That I don't even who else was on the 14 team. I know the
that was
6'5" swing guard that's bounced around the league that started in Oklahoma City was there.
That was
the lottery pick.
Jeremy
Lamb. Jeremy
Lamb.
You.
That was 7th seeded UConn over 8th seeded Kentucky.
Yeah.
Ryan Boatwright.
Yes,
had a big tournament.
Kevin Ollie. That was Kevin Ollie, the coach.
DeAndre Daniels. There was some name. Niles Giffey.
I don't remember Niles.
The German
Giffey.
Kid. He started. He was starting one of. That's all guys I can remember.
I should take it back. The first couple of UConn championship teams had the studs in the middle. Emeka.
Okafor.
Yeah.
In 04, yeah.
Yep.
But, they're now playing at what they're playing a style of basketball that looks like championship basketball. And
yeah, they are.
You know,
that was really impressive what they did Saturday.
They play inside out, which I think you can still do in basketball. I am not convinced that the big man is dead. All right, I think two big men is dead,
yeah,
right? Because
yeah.
I think spacing the floor and cutting is something that the NBA, and I give great credit to the NBA, by the way, they set out to do this. They set out to create freedom of movement. Remember that? Like six, 7, 8 years ago, they said, we're looking to create freedom of movement. And they started calling more fouls, and everybody bitched about all the fouls, and then everybody adjusted to it. And now we've got the NBA's, because I know they're taking a step back this year in ratings, but their ratings have gone up and up and up and up as people shot and shot and shot. And I think the pendulum probably, the idea that five guys can stand around the perimeter is not true. And so, and listen, you can have guys cut into the inside and not just set up, you know, build a foundation
right.
down there like the old school Moses Malones and Hakeem Olajuwons and those guys. But I do think there is a place, certainly in college basketball, for Udoka Azubuike. And I think there's a spot for an Azubuike that can make free throws in the NBA. I think he's a backup, big on a championship caliber team. He may start on a team that's 38 and 44 and you know goes in as the 8 seed or something.
Yeah, but I think that would be the best that team could be. I see him. So we were talking about this today earlier. I think he's a 10 year backup. I think he's a Greg Ostertag type of backup in the NBA.
Yeah,
I think
he's blocking shots now. He's learned use his size, something he didn't really have early on. The last couple of years, he's become a legitimate shot blocker and uses his length. And so I think that helps. He's now a real rim protector.
He's so lean. He's gotten so lean. He's just athletic.
Yeah, he's much more athletic. And I think, you know, in the league, I listen, he is gassed when he's asked to play 35 or 36. Bill Self told me going into last year, like 28, 29 minutes is perfect for him. I think that's still true, but they have no choice. With DeSouza down on McCormick in foul trouble the other day, you know, they had no choice but to run him out there.
Maybe a 10 to 15 minute guy in the NBA?
Yeah.
Yep.
Perfect. You get max effort out of the guy, and I think there's a spot for him in the league, and I think he goes bottom of the first round in the draft. But I think, you know, now
I like that too, because that means he'd end up at a good team,
right?
You know,
right, absolutely. And I think they'd bury him in the G League for a year or two, or over in Europe, and then I think he'd have a spot. I think he'd continue to grow. He gets a chance to work on his free throws and that kind of thing. But no, I look for Kansas though. I will say this. You know, I once heard Tom Penders tell me that Carlos Boozer was a glorified layup maker. Now, he was an All-American.
Yes. Yeah.
That was underselling him. There is a little bit of that with Doak. It's dunk get it out of there.
Right.
But I think he's just gotten better and better and better, and he's still only like 20 years old. There's reason to believe 2 years in the G League, and he adds a consistent jump hook, and he could be good.
All-conference, maybe All-America.
Yeah, absolutely. Blair, always great talking to you, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Nate Taylor, next.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question, sponsored by Good Sense, chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, John Ross holds the NFL combine record for fastest 40-yard dash. He ran 4.22 in 2017. Whose record did he break? Brought to you by Good Sense.